It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Well, welcome to the Amber May Show. I am so glad that you joined me this week. And we have a very important topic that we are talking about this week. And we are talking about child abuse. And, you know, it happens all the time. And I think that as society, we need to do something more to protect the little ones who can't protect themselves. And this show this week is going to be a PG-13 type show. So if you have young children, please don't play this show around your young children. This is for mature audiences only. Joining me today is Tom Richardson. He himself has gone through child abuse, and he's going to share his story with us about what he's gone through, but he also has victory in it as well, and so we're going to talk about that.
About 3 years passed, and literally laying in bed, as you do, the trauma relives, you try to go sleep. Sleeping sucks, by the way, when you have this, but as I was laying there, I believe this was God that nudged me and said, had this thought planted in my mind, how many hospitals are in Battle Creek, Michigan? Now, the newspapers probably listed for the area. It started coming to me very clearly, and I thought, so I got up the next morning. I called information. I go, hey, how many hospitals are in Battle Creek? She goes, one. I said, how many were in Battle Creek way back in 63? She goes, one. It's a small town. She goes, we've only had one. It's called Community Hospital. So I start going through these papers, and I'm like, that gone, 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 gone. It got down to two little girls and one baby boy born on May 7th, 1963 in Battle Creek, Michigan. And it was listed, and it said a baby boy born today, May 7th, 1963 at 9:39 a.m., I think it was. The parents reside at 328 West Gogak Street, I think is what it's called. And it sent chills through my body because I go, that might be the address. And I go, for some reason, I don't remember a dad. By the way, my biological dad, I have no idea who he is to this day. But for some reason, I'd always remembered my mom.
But while we're talking about your mom, let's talk about why she, real quick, why she gave you up. She had three kids at the age of 19 in the 60s.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was hard for her, looking back. I think it was hard for her to manage.
Sure.
3, 2, and 1 year old.
And here she thinks she's going to do something great for all of you guys.
Yeah. And, you know, and the interesting thing is we were all put into foster care, but all put in different families.
Which was sad.
That was a sad situation back then. I don't know what the details were, but, you know, so I'm looking at this address and I go, I'm going to write a letter and ask them, hey, this is who I am. I'm trying to find my real mom. If you don't know her, can you ask the neighbors? Maybe they were living there still. I said, would you mind just asking several people on the street? It would be so helpful to me. And I put in a self-addressed stamped envelope to return, like they could, in a piece of paper, like I wrote on a really nice paper, you know, like stationery paper. And well, about a week later, I get a phone call, and I hear this lady going, hey, it's your mom. Well, automatically, I think Richardson mom. And in my head, pardon me, I'm like, what the hell does she want? I'm literally thinking that. I'm like, but this lady's crying. And I'm like, why is she crying? I'm still thinking it's Richardson mom. I'm like, I haven't talked to her in decades, you know. I'm like, a few decades. I'm like, what the heck does she want? And she goes, this is your mama. You know, and I'm like, hold on. Richardson mom never talked like that. And I go, this is who? She goes, this is your mama. Is how she, you know, she's from Tennessee, so it's got this strange twist and verbiage, if you will. Yeah, yeah. And she's crying, and she goes, I know it's you. She goes, reach up by your right ear. And on my right ear, I have a tiny little bump that at birth, they snipped off a little, I don't know what it was, a little piece of cartilage that was, you know, just a little extra growth right there by my ear. Snipped it off, and she goes, reach up by your right ear. I'd always known I had it. You know, I always felt it and always wondered. I didn't know. She goes, do you have it by your right ear? And I go, yeah. She goes, you're my son. And I started crying because suddenly I was realizing this is my real mom. And so this is my real mom. And I'm thinking, this is amazing. So I started, I'm like, where, how did you get my number? Well, in the letter, I'd put my phone number if you don't mind calling. Well, come to find out, that was her mom and stepdad's address then, and it still was. So she came over to visit. They lived a couple miles away from where she was, and she came over to visit. And she, my birth name, by the way, I always crack up about this because I hate it, was Wendell Kenneth. Would have been Wendell Kenneth Dunkelberger at one point. It's different. I know it's funny. It's my buddies, even my own daughters. My daughters will call me Wendell. Once I hear Wendell from the other room, I start laughing. I always ask my mom, I go, I don't know what you were doing back then, but something wasn't going on in your head, right? But anyway, so I guess she shows up and grandfather, her stepdad says, did you get a letter from Wendell? And this is how my mom tells the story too, my real mom. And I use the mom, word mom, when I refer to your my mom, the Richardson lady, when I refer to the one who inflicted the terror. But, of course, he says, hey, did you get a letter from Wendell? And she goes, no. He goes, well, I did. Check it out. And so she reads it, and she sees the phone number. She goes, can I use your phone? He goes, yes. Picks up the phone, calls me, literally. Now, that comes 1 year after, to the month. So my mom, 19 years old, has three kids, then doesn't have any. She ended up having two. Ended up having two others and raising them. But has three kids. They're all gone, which is pretty tragic for her.
Sure.
A year prior to that, one sister found her. They did a talk show because they're in Michigan at this point. Did a talk show in Detroit, Michigan, a TV show, morning show on one of the networks saying, hey, this is our story, told the story. And I've seen video of it. It's pretty cool. They put up the other sister's picture and my picture when I was three because I was the oldest of the three. We were three, two, and one. And said, if you have any idea where these kids are, please contact the show, da, da, da. Well, the other sister's friend or something was watching it and goes, gosh, that's Ann. So they contact Ann and she goes, hey, I think somebody's looking for you. Well, so my mom gets one daughter back. A couple months later, gets another daughter back. A year later, I find all of them, plus her two other children. So after all those years, you think from three until, let's say, 30, you know, for 27 years, she had no idea where the three kids were and got all three of them back. That's a miracle in the sense of some kids never find their real parent.
That's right.
And some do, and it's not a good reunion because there's lives, separate lives. A lot of times there's several siblings, but you can't find the other ones or... I hear stories to this day of people finding each other that are 75 years old and they've been looking for decades. So this is God's hand in all this. Okay. My mom gets us all back. You know, after we had a nice conversation, I flew back to Michigan about a week later and pre 9/11, obviously. And, you know, I got off the plane, I'm walking off the ramp and I see these, you know, the TV cameras and lights go on, and I immediately turn around and look behind me because I'm like, you know, who's on, is Tom Cruise on the plane? Or so? You know, I'm like, who's on, you know, and I'm pretty observant, and I'm like, another side condition of, you know, PTSD is the hyper-awareness and stuff, and I'm like, I was disappointed in myself immediately that I didn't recognize somebody famous, and I was like, what the heck, and I'm looking, and then it hits me, I go, you know, because it's for me. What had happened is in Los Angeles when I was living there, somebody had told the newspaper, I don't know how to this day how they found out, the Los Angeles Times came out, contacted me and said, hey, we understand you just found your real mom. And I shared with them my whole story too, of abuse and what I'd been through, and I found my real mom because it was kind of a cool transition, you know, from terror to joy. And so they did a story literally for 3 months in California. I would occasionally get people come up to me and go, why do you look familiar? And then it would hit them. Oh, yeah, you were on the front page of the LA Times. I was on the front page of the Los Angeles Times.
Wow.
And I wasn't in custody, which was a, wow. You know, it was a kind of a good story or a good situation. So they had contacted the news media in Detroit, which I didn't think about all that. I'm meeting my real mom. I'm just focused on seeing her. Well, she's not even there. She's not at the airport. They had set up for me to be driven by a limousine to go meet her at her house. Now, my mom's a very humble lady, very sweet lady. Lived in a very, at that time, in a very, you know, poor part of Detroit or Battle Creek, Michigan. And so I drove up, I meet her, I meet my, all my other four siblings. It's wonderful. It's joyous. I mean, there's, I can't even begin to tell you. We got there that afternoon. I stayed up all night. Her and I stayed up all night talking into the next day, the next afternoon. We're still talking. Had a couple meals in between there because you got to eat every once in a while, but we couldn't even go to sleep. We were talking. And, of course, any caring mother is going to be caring enough to be like, you know, and you got, if you, I can hear my mom's accent and I can hear her words because, you know, I know her. But, you know, in her Tennessee draw, if you will, because she lives in Tennessee now, but her draw and her accent and everything said, well, how was your childhood? You know, I did sales and marketing for years, and I'm not saying I know how to spin it, but I spun it because I didn't want to talk to her about it. I knew the guilt that she had already carried, and there's no reason to add to it.
Yeah, there is no way when she would find out what you went through that she would have made that same mistake again. Mm-hmm. Not that it was a mistake, because she was trying to do the best for you.
Right.
But if she would have known what you would have gone through, there's no way she would have given you up.
No, and she wouldn't have. And it's interesting, as she asked over the next several days, because I was there a week, she would ask, and we'd talk about something different. And finally, as mothers do, even though I'm an adult at this point, you know, she goes, you know, she goes, stops me. She goes, you're not telling your mama everything. Well, when you know, you hear that, I'm like, okay, I think, because obviously I didn't grow up in that type of home. But I'm familiar with that term, meaning you're not telling your mama everything. That means be quiet, start talking, you know, at the same time, stop talking about the other stuff and tell me what happened. And I just looked at her gently and I said, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. And she, you know, she looked at me, she goes, it does. And to kind of give you a revamp the time frame, birth to three, I was with her, 3 to 5 in a foster home. And I met that family, by the way, when I was in Battle Creek, when I went back to meet my real mom. They saw about it on the news. They contacted her and they came over and met me. And I wish to this day I could still have contact with them, but I can't remember their names. I don't remember who they are. But so I was with them from 3 to 5, 5 to 18 with the Richardson family going through hell. I love my siblings, by the way. I want to put that out there.
The Richardson siblings?
The Richardson siblings and my real siblings. So oddly enough, I'm closer to the Richardson siblings than I am my real siblings. We all have different dads. Actually, all three of us have different dads.
All three of who?
That we're giving up.
Oh, the biological?
3, 2, and 1. Yeah, okay. And then the two that she raised have the same father. But, so I was telling her, you know, about, hey, how, you know, I didn't really want to tell her the details and stuff. But so, you know, from 5 to 18, I was with the Richardson. Then she started doing kind of what I was doing, but in a different way. She said, well, I want to tell you something, but you're going to think your mama's crazy. You know, I'm like, well, just go ahead and tell me. I mean, I've heard it all. You know, how you think, everybody thinks they've heard it all until you hear something new. And then you're like, oh, I haven't heard that mm-hmm. one. Well, she kept doing that. And I said, well, just go and tell me. She goes, no. And I can't explain this. I don't know how it happens. I just know that God's hand was in this situation. She said, do you remember coming to see me when you were 10? And I looked at her like puzzled face, if you can picture it. For the people who are listening, I was like, she goes, see, I told you, you're going to think I'm crazy. I said, well, because in my head, I'm going, birth to 3 with you, 3 to 5 foster family, 5 to 18. I'm like, I'm not, what do you mean 10? And she goes, I woke up in the middle of the night one night. Because I heard something. She goes, and I saw you standing in the room. And this sends chills to me because I know this is God's will. I just don't understand it. But I've come to realize I don't need to understand it. I just need to share the story. But she said, I heard something. So I woke up. She goes, and you were standing in the room. She said, hi, Mom, it's me. I can't stay very long, and you can't touch me. I came to tell you I'm okay. I'll see you again someday. I got a blue bike for Christmas. And I was gone.
Tom, we are at the end of today's program. This isn't the end of the story. I'd love for you to come back and let's pick up where we left off next week, okay?
You bet.